For many parts of the U.S., this month marks the seventh month of living during a pandemic. We've delayed things, canceled trips, and tried to make do with what we have. And we've settled in many cases into routines that include a lot of sameness. The neighborhood walk, watching Netflix, going grocery shopping, and for some people, working from home. There's not a lot of change happening, but our next guest says a little novelty is exactly what we all need right now. And the fall season offers some good ways to do that. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you found yourself being particularly appreciative of fall this year? Have you taken a drive to look at fall colors? Are you happy to wear some other clothing and embrace layering now that the weather has changed? Are you welcoming some of those cozy things, the candles, the tea, the cider, whatever? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Nisha Chital is a journalist who works at Vox.com and writes their weekly newspaper, Nisha's Internet Tote Bag. She recently wrote a newsletter about novelty. Nisha, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
What got you, Nisha, thinking about novelty in this time of, these weird routines we've developed into?
Well, as you said, we're now in month seven, I think, of spending more of our time at home than we ever have before. And I realized that just some of the natural changes that come with fall, such as bringing your fall clothes out of the back of the closet or out of storage, some of those things that you sort of in a normal year would take for granted as something you always do, felt really, really refreshing this year. I was reading some studies, which eventually led to me writing this newsletter. There are studies that show that the human brain is really stimulated by novel things, and it really responds well to novelty, and the brain is sort of rewarded by that. So I realized that things like different clothes for fall or different decor at home or different foods, all of those things that sort of naturally come with fall felt very novel and very exciting this year, even though they're small things, they're small changes. It's nothing huge, but it's a year when we can't have a lot of big changes. So that just a little bit of novelty after doing, kind of the same things for the past 6 months, the same routines, the same foods, the same clothes, just these small bits of novelty felt really refreshing and kind of rejuvenating.
And had you been feeling this kind of lack of novelty in your own daily life?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I realized kind of over the summer as we got to like month four and month five and month six, I just felt like, many of my friends and colleagues and family members felt the same. I started to feel like every day is just the same because we had sort of locked into these new pandemic life routines that we thought in the beginning in March, perhaps, it also felt novel in a different way, not necessarily in a good way because our lives were sort of being thrown into disarray, but it was very new and novel at the time. And then we sort of set into this new life of we're social distancing. We're not having big gatherings. Many of the things we like to do are closed. We're not traveling. If many people are working from home. And so these routines kind of calcified and I did start to feel sort of stagnant, if you will.
We asked our listeners on the Ideas Network Facebook page to weigh in on whether they're looking forward to or enjoying the changes of fall. Now, Marjorie writes, the beauty of the trees changing their coats from green is always awesome. Cooler days and wearing sweaters is a tradition I love. Long walks with crunching leaf debris and all the earthy smells are great. That let's talk about the middle part there, that change of wardrobe. Again, you mentioned that mm-hmm. briefly. That's not something I usually think that much about, but I agree. Mm-hmm. It's been kind of fun to even just reach for the long sleeves instead of the short sleeves. Is that the kind of little change you're hoping we can appreciate more this year?
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, the funny part is that happens every year. This isn't, it's not particularly new because it's 2020, but it's just something different than the past 6 months. Like I wore the same t-shirts for the past 6 months. And so to reach for a different, like a sweater that I haven't seen in 6 months, it feels, it just feels so refreshing to look at something new and different and to wear something new and different. And it's just like changing up your routine in really the smallest of ways, but that novelty really does, I think, make people feel better because our brains are sort of hardwired to seek out novelty.
We're talking about the routines of our lives, especially the ones we've settled into during the pandemic, and why we love novelty and how we seek it out and why fall might be a good time to find it. Neisha Chital is with us, a journalist. She wrote about this on her newsletter, Neisha's Internet Tote Bag. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you kind of tired of your pandemic era routine? Have you found ways to bust out of it? And are you finding comfort in the change of the seasons one way or another? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. That's 800-642-1234. We also asked some of our colleagues here at WPR if they had found ways to shake things up. Mark Riker is a digital producer with, to the best of our knowledge, says he rearranges his desk every 2 to 3 weeks, including the cabling behind and underneath it. Mark says he tells himself it's better use his mic or arrange the screens, but he admits it's getting a little ridiculous at this point. So just shaking up things in our workspace. I think that's a working at home space in this case. What do you think, Neisha, just redesigning the space around us from time to time?
I think that's a great idea. I actually really wish I had the space to do that. Since our new work from home reality, I now work at my my kitchen table. So there's not a lot of space for me to, you know, I don't have like a dedicated desk that I could rearrange and redesign my workspace. But if I did have one, I would absolutely, I think, be doing that right alongside your colleague. I think I would also be rearranging my things. I've definitely had, I think, a lot of people, there's actually a great article in The Atlantic last week about how Americans are turning to a lot more sort of like home improvement and DIY projects to reorganize or redecorate their space because we're spending so much time at home. So I think there's definitely, I definitely understand the urge to do that.
We also heard from health reporter Shemaine Mills, who says she's not a cook, but she's taken up fermentation. She experiments with all sorts of vegetables and loves and loathes the results. She example she gives: purple cabbage, beautiful and tangy; cauliflower, bitter and smells of death; sweet peppers fermented with celery are amazing; best so far, pickled rhubarb. I've heard, and this is since the beginning, we've heard from a lot of people, Neisha, who have taken up maybe a new hobby or rekindled an old one. Do you see that as something that's still a good way to add some novelty to our lives?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I've heard from a lot of people who have gotten more into cooking or baking, or people who learn to knit, or they're trying to learn a language or read a book that's been on their bucket list. I think that can be a great way to introduce some novelty and pass the time too. I also think there's like, there's a balance to be struck. Some people feel like, you know, the pandemic is so exhausting that they're just trying to get through the days and they don't also have the time to learn a language or learn how to bake bread or, you know, read the classics. So I think everyone has to do, you know, sort of what works for them. But for those who are seeking a little bit of novelty, tackling some of those like sort of bucket list projects or learning a new skill or a language or taking up a hobby, I think can be a great solution to that.
We're talking to Neisha Chital, a journalist who works at Vox.com. She writes the weekly newsletter, Neisha's Internet Tote Bag. She wrote a recent piece on novelty and why we could all use a little change right now and fall. The change of seasons can be a good way to find some. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you found yourself falling into, you know, kind of the same new routine in recent months? What do you do to find that novelty that our brains apparently crave? Have you found ways to shake things up? And is the change of seasons helping you do that? Appreciating maybe some of the fall standbys. Apple cider, that's one of mine, in new ways. Fall colors, call it at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or if there's a non-seasonal way you've found some novelty lately, 800-642-1234 is the number. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We pick up our talk now with Nisha Chital, journalist at Vox. Her weekly newsletter is Nisha's Internet Tote Bag. She recently wrote about novelty for her newsletter and why fall is maybe helping bring some small changes of pace that we really need right about now. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you feel like you've been in a routine, maybe a boring routine? What do you do to shake it up, to find that novelty that our brains want? And is the change of the seasons helping you do that? 800-642-1234 is the number, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Let's go to your calls. Russ is with us in Pleasant Springs. Russ, hi.
Hi, Rob. I just wanted to say I'm 74 years old, and one of my fondest memories is that first day that you smell, and I don't know what it is, you smell the gas furnace kick on, and you're in the house, and you're wondering, what is that smell? And all of a sudden, it's the heat, and, you know, the sun is getting lower coming through the windows. And I can remember that first realization as far back as I can remember. I grew up in Illinois, and it's that smell of the heat coming on.
Wow, Russ, thank you so much. Sounds like Russ has already been focused on that, Nisha, but finding those little details in our own homes to find that sense of novelty sounds like a great idea.
Yeah, it's a great idea. And actually, I think my radiators at home kicked on this morning, and we noticed that smell too. So I can definitely relate. I know that you notice that every year around this time.
Yeah, mine is more that 75% of my household overrules me and decides it's time to turn on the heat before I'm quite ready. But that's definitely a sign of a changing season. Here's another one from one of our colleagues here, Alisa Nalbandian, our Southeastern Regional Manager, says her family biked the Elroy Sparta Trail this past weekend. They rode through tunnels and enjoyed a once-in-a-lifetime fall color. And that's a great way, getting out and enjoying nature as the colors change, Nisha. Could be an easy way, or even just a local walk, a way to find that novelty in the changing of the season.
Yeah, that sounds wonderful. What a great fall activity. I wish I had somewhere nearby to do that myself. But I think I'm going to be trying to take some fall hikes to see some fall foliage, hopefully soon too.
So how do we, if we feel like we're in a rut, you know, and we don't have that inspiration, Nisha, do you have thoughts on how we can look for, you know, either a big activity, a big long hike, or those little observations like Russ's about the heat? How can we, I guess, open our brains to be receptive to novelty?
That's a great question. I think that, you know, big changes are maybe harder. It's harder to make big changes happen mm-hmm. right now in our lives, just because of the nature of the way the pandemic has sort of put restrictions on our lives. For me, I think it's all about sort of trying to notice and appreciate small things that we might have taken for granted before. I didn't even really think about the novelty thing until I pulled an old sweater from last fall out of the closet, and it felt, I realized how sort of exciting it felt to put on something, not new, but something I hadn't seen since before the pandemic. I think it's just trying to, I think a good place to start is just trying to be sort of like present in the moment and really noticing things around you. I think often we are, pulled into our phones, we're pulled into our screens, or we're either thinking about something that's in the future, or we're thinking about something that happened in the past, and we're not really thinking so much about the present moment and sort of noticing things around us. I think noticing things that are different or that have changed, or things you really appreciate, however small they may be, I think is a great way to start sort of noticing what feels novel and exciting to you.
Let's bring on another caller. Dwayne is with us in Wausau. Hi.
Hi. Just going out on our local lake a lot with the coronavirus, and, you know, you're not going to the shopping, you're not doing anything, and just the colors this year in this area anyway are just phenomenal. I mean, they've been, 2 weeks ago I said they were peaking, and it's just getting better every day yet, you know. I mean, it's just beautiful color, and when you're on the lake, you know, you see all the geese flying, and they're making their route south, and I just And when you called, I was making stuffed green peppers. So I'm doing more cooking. I'm trying to get new recipes. But I had a question. When you see the geese flying and they're in that V, you ever see that when they're in that V formation?
Sure.
You know, you ever notice how one side's always longer than the other? You ever see that? Like,
sure.
You see more on one side. You know why that is?
I don't.
Do you know why?
No.
There's more geese on that side, apparently. Just a joke.
Okay. All right, Dwayne. Yeah, a little humor to give us some novelty there, Nisha. But one thing I like there is just, I guess, that sensitivity to the changing of the seasons, the colors, the migrating birds, things like that. Is that something you feel more mindful of, it sounds like, this year, Nisha?
Yeah, I'm really trying to be. I live really close to a very nice park. And to be honest, I think in past years, I did not take advantage of living so close to a great park, or I didn't take advantage of it as much as I should have. Now that, you know, there's not many places to go or things to do, and outdoor gatherings are generally, you know, outdoors is better in the time of coronavirus. I've spent a lot more time in the park. Sometimes you have a book or something to read, but sometimes I just like to sit and sort of like notice and be aware of my surroundings. And I really appreciate that outdoor space and change of scenery a lot more than maybe I did in previous years.
Nisha, thank you so much for sharing this with us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's a fun topic.
Nisha Chital is a journalist who works at Vox.com and writes the weekly newsletter Nisha's Internet Tote Bag. She joined us to talk about novelty and why fall has brought some welcome change to our ongoing routines lately. We've got a link to her piece, by the way, at WPR.org/Central Time if you'd like to take a look. As Wisconsin became one of the country's COVID hotspots, the debate over how much information the public should have about local outbreaks also heated up. For example, the state doesn't report K-12 schools with confirmed cases as some parents and teachers would like. Shemaine Mills reports that health officials across the state say they're walking a fine line between privacy and sharing critical information.
Back in March, when very little was known about coronavirus, UW-Madison student Amy Schursel announced on social media she had the illness. The 22-year-old wanted to warn other young people they, too, could be vulnerable to the virus. It kept her bedridden for 2 weeks with a fever, dehydration, and extreme fatigue.
So sick. I honestly never been that sick in my life, and I hope I'm never that sick again.
While most of the feedback she received was positive, some wasn't.
Other people who are like, she only got it because she's too fat. She's too lazy, and that's why she's sick. Just like really like mean stuff.
Schursel, who now lives and works in California, was also open about her name and her hometown. When health officials or school districts announce infections, they can't reveal information that could identify a person. But sometimes it happens inadvertently, especially in small communities. When Bayfield School District had its first known case of COVID-19, officials notified parents, students, and staff by text, telephone, and social media that a high schooler was infected. Word soon spread who it might be, even though gender, grade, or name were not shared, says an attorney who represents the school, Steve Weld.
You know, Bayfield, like most communities in northern Wisconsin, are small communities. Frankly, it didn't take Dick Tracy to figure out who was involved.
Bayfield Public Health Director Sarah Wartman later found out the infected teen and her family received unwanted attention on Facebook and at their home by people wanting to know if they were indeed quarantined.
Had I known that as it was happening and been made aware of it, I could have put some made some actions that could have been protective for that family, could have potentially offered to have the family or the person be put in a hotel room for their safety.
Or, she says, even posted guards outside the family's home to make sure, in Wartman's words, they weren't harassed. School districts and public health departments are both subject to laws that allow them to alert the community about infectious diseases, but they must try to maintain as much privacy for the individual as possible. Denise Chrysler is with the Network for Public Health Law.
With students, and especially students in elementary and high school. It's extremely sensitive. Whether COVID should have stigma or not have stigma, it does have stigma.
But Bill Leaders with the Wisconsin Freedom of Information Council says how people perceive COVID changes as more people get the disease. He stresses that details about cases is vital information the public needs during a pandemic.
Parents have a right to know if there have been cases of COVID-19 that have been confirmed in the schools that their children attend.
The Bayfield County High School case occurred in March. Now there have been more than 130 known infections in the county. Like the rest of the state, the COVID-19 cases come from workplaces, family gatherings, and sporting events. Keeping track of those cases is the job of state and local health officials who try to balance public safety with protecting privacy. Those who voluntarily come forward with COVID information, like Amy Schursel, may get a reaction they didn't want or expect. But she says she wouldn't do anything different. She didn't want anyone else to suffer. Shemaine Mills, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up tomorrow here on Central Time, the Trump administration is backing a lawsuit that would overturn the Affordable Care Act, making health care a big issue in the presidential race. We'll compare the candidates' plans and statements on the topic. Opioid addiction is still a problem in Wisconsin, and the pandemic is creating unique problems when it comes to treatment. A Wisconsin doctor joins us with the latest on the long-running problem. And we'll hear from congressional candidates in the November election with a race in South Central Wisconsin. That and more coming up tomorrow on Central Time.